The Secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
Into hour number 2. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We're a tremendous Friday to you. Great to have you here. Hour number 1 was smooth. It was easy. It was good. Hour number 2 is going to be the same way. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, if you're on hold, you want to stay there. I will get to your phone calls later on. We're going to talk some college basketball. We are joined right now by the head coach at San Diego State. Third season as Aztecs head coach. He led San Diego State to the Mountain West Tournament title back in 2018. 1 of 5 undefeated teams in the country right now. San Diego State, for all of their success, is 10-0 for the first time in 9 seasons. They're number 24 in the coaches poll. San Diego Christian is going up against San Diego State Wednesday. Brian Dutcher is my guest. Brian, good to have you on. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Jim. It's a pleasure.
You too, Brian. Thanks so much. Now, if we were to go back to Sunday, let me start right there because you had a game against San Jose State, and they were knocking down one shot after another. Late in the game, they took a 3-point lead with over a minute to go. Some of the shots, Brian, they were making were just crazy. What was going through your mind at that point?
Well, there was one sequence, Jim, where we got it inside, we missed a reverse layup, and then we had a point-blank tip-in, and we missed that. And I'm thinking to myself, this might be it. Boy, we cannot get the ball to go in. And then, to our credit, we managed to get a stop at the very end. And Malachi Flynn had a magical shot, almost a March Madness type of a shot, to win the game for us from three-point range.
All right, so for those who missed it, Brian Dutcher, my guest. For those who missed it, Brian, that shot by Malachi Flynn, he had been 2 for 12 at that point. He hits that fallaway three over 3 defenders, less than a second to go. What does it say about him that he's not having the best shooting game ever, and yet he still not only is not afraid to take that shot, but he knocks it in cold-blooded?
Not only did he take it, I didn't draw a play up for him, and he still went and got the ball and made it anyway. So he kind of said, Coach, I should have the ball, and he went and found it and made the shot. But he's a guy that's supremely confident, Jim. He wants that shot. He doesn't worry much about what's happened before then, and he will be the guy probably for most of the year if we end in that situation that we'll find a way to get that shot.
Well, Brian Dutcher joining us. It was an amazing shot. Now, your home arena has become one of the toughest places to play over the years, but what was the noise like in that building when that shot went down and you finished that game off?
It was incredible. And we've led the state of California in attendance for 10 straight years. So we're used to big crowds, and now that we're on the win streak, we've got the building full again, and it was magical. Our crowd is fantastic, led by the show, our student section. And when that shot went in, the building got deafening.
Brian, the team is now 10-0, as I mentioned, for the first time in 9 years. You're ranked once again. I know there's a lot of basketball left, so you're not about to party right now. But how pleased are you with the start of the season?
It's been very gratifying. We decided, like Texas Tech a year ago, to stay older. So we added 2 fifth-year transfers to the starting lineup. We only have 1 freshman on scholarship. So we have a maturity and experience about us that has allowed us to get off to a good start this year.
Brian, you mentioned Texas Tech. You know, I went a few months back to Texas Tech, and I sat down with Chris Beard, and I spent a day with him, and we had an interview. And I am, and knowing him a little bit, we kind of go way back, but I am absolutely awed by what he has done there as quickly as he's done it. Is somebody in the profession on the outside looking in, what are your impressions of Beard and what he's accomplished already at Tech?
He's a great coach, and we played him here a number of years ago when he was at Arkansas Little Rock, I believe, and he came in here and beat us in our building when we had a good team, and he's just a great coach. He knows how to control tempo. He knows how to get a team better as the year goes on, and hats off to Chris. I was really happy that they went ahead and got that win over Louisville, and he's got a young team back on track.
All right, so we're only 10 games in, but you've already come from down 9 at BYU, down 16 at Iowa, or against Iowa, I should say, and now this clutch win over San Jose State. So what's it tell you about the grit and the toughness of your team?
We're definitely a tough team, and that's something you don't know. You practice, you think you're going to be a good team, and until you're in those situations, you really don't know, Jim. And so our ability to fight back from deficits, to find a way to stay together and come out on the winning end, speaks volumes for the quality of this team. And so when we get down, we're not panicked. We know it's a long game, and the guys seem to stay focused and not point fingers, not want to play hero ball. They stay with what we're trying to do and have found a way to come out on the winning side of them.
Brian Dutcher, my guest. Brian, how much of that, sorry to interrupt, how much of that, though, is about guys that have been in the program for a while and understand the culture and the expectations?
Yeah, with college basketball, Jim, you know, it's always a mix of transfers and then program guys. So guys like Jordan Shackle and Matt Mitchell, Nathan Mensa, guys that have been in our program 2 and 3 years, provide great leadership. And then we add guys like Malachi Flynn from Washington State, K.J. Fagan, who was a first-team All-WCC player from Santa Clara, and Yanni Wetzel from Vanderbilt. So it's a mix this day and age. Rarely do you just have all program guys. You mix guys that are part of your culture that have been here 3, 4 years with guys that are leaving situations where they feel it's better for them to win and to be successful, to come to your program. So it's always a mix, and that's the fine line with coaching is try to put it all together.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Easier said than done, right? I understand what the goal is, but how do you go about putting that all together and having all these different types mesh?
You want to find guys that are leaving for the right reason. You don't want to take someone else's problems. And so we have a guy like Malachi who averaged 16 a game at Washington State but wanted to win more. We have K.J. Fagan who averaged 18 a game at Santa Clara, first-team All-WCC, that just felt, as a fifth-year senior, he wanted an opportunity to try to win at a higher level. And so when they come here, Jim, they have to sacrifice part of their games because they're playing with other good players, and these guys have been willing to do that, sacrifice part of who they are in order to win basketball games.
We are talking to Brian Dutcher. Now, Brian, every coach I talk to, literally every coach in every sport, and I always mention this, talks about culture and then trust. And trust is a big part of culture. They come hand in hand. How valuable is that on the court, trust?
It's everything. You know, there's not a guy that plays basketball that can't create his own shot this day and age. But the key is, can you create a shot for someone else? And so offensively, all we really talk about, Jim, is sharing the ball. You know, get two defenders on you, play like they do in the NBA where it's the elite of the elite. Whenever they have two on the ball, they find the open man. And trust that your teammate's going to make that shot if you get it for him. And so that's always the emphasis as we move on. Share the ball, play the right way, and then guard at a high level.
So, Brian, do the guys all understand this inherently, or do you sometimes have to push back against, yeah, but coach, I can't share my way to the next level? How do you respond to that? How do you deal with that?
We just, you know, we try to show them what they're doing in the NBA. Hey, this is how they play. This is how you're going to be expected to play when you get there. So if you're good enough, this is the level you have to aspire to. So you're not going to be that guy if you get up there that they put the ball in your hands and tell you to score right away. You're going to have to coexist with other great players and play the right way. So why not do it now? Why not show them you're capable of that? And that's the message we deliver.
We're talking to San Diego State head basketball coach Brian Dutcher. Brian, you and my guy Eric Musselman used to go up against each other when he was at Nevada until he left for Arkansas. I bring this up because there's this story that the two of you had not spent much time together until a Nike coach's weekend a couple of years back in Santa Barbara. Mus said, quote, "I think coaches' sons always have a mutual understanding, a mutual respect," end of quote. I mean, to me, Mus is one of those just ultimate basketball lifers. He's like, he's given everything he has to the sport. What was it like when the two of you guys got together?
It was great. You know, Eric's dad, Bill Musselman, was the head coach at the University of Minnesota. And then my father, Jim Dutcher, took over for him at the University of Minnesota. So not only were we both coaches' sons, but both our fathers led the University of Minnesota basketball program. So we had a connection, and even though I knew of Eric, I didn't get to spend a lot of quality time with him until the Nike trip. And obviously Eric's mother still lives in San Diego. He gets back to San Diego. And so he's proven what kind of coach he is, having success at Nevada and now having the same success at Arkansas.
Now, as long as we're talking about some of my favorite guys, I've got to ask you about Steve Fisher, who you coached with for a long time. What did you learn from your time with him?
I always say Steve Fisher's greatest quality, in a world of talkers, he was a great listener. He can sit there. He had an ability to let everyone speak their mind, to listen, not try to talk over people, get the best out of everybody, and then come up with a formula for what he felt would help the program in San Diego State. And so having worked with Steve for 10 years at Michigan and then 18, 19 years here at San Diego State, was a real blessing.
So what about that, Brian? For instance, after the way you and Steve built that program, you could have had opportunities, I'm sure had opportunities, to go elsewhere. But when you were named head coach, you talked about how important it was to take over something that you helped build instead of taking over a program that somebody else built. Why was that so special?
Coaching's a hard business. We all know that. And so I always approached it like it was a marathon instead of a sprint. I wasn't looking to go take a job as good as I thought I could be that would be hard to win at, and then all of a sudden be out of the business in 2 or 3 years. And so I helped build San Diego State with Steve. I felt like this was the best program in the Mountain West and that it would be worth waiting to take this one over. And I was very fortunate that San Diego State felt that way, that they wanted to give me this opportunity. And now I want to do the best to keep the program at the level it's been at.
So what about that, Brian? Finally, when you look at where the program was when you and Steve first arrived and where it is right now, you're 10-0. The expectation is an NCAA tournament appearance and more every single year. How much pride then do you have as to where that bar stands now?
Yeah, once we went 34-3 with the Kawhi Leonard team, we set a high bar. And so we've been to the NCAA tournament 7 of the last 10 years, and that's the expectation, and that's our expectation. So if we fall short of that, we're disappointed. So I think it's good to have high aspirations, and as a program, we have them every year.
And then finally, Brian, since you mentioned Kawhi, what was he like on campus? What was he like to coach?
Kawhi was the hardest worker I've ever been around, and I've been around a lot of great players. He was just driven to be great. And the time he spent on his game, I've never seen anything like it. And it's to this day. If he's back in San Diego and he gets in the practice facility, he'll be in there an hour, 2 hours straight. And some guys, when they work out, you can go in and they're going to give you a hug and a handshake. When Kawhi works out, that's the office. You don't interrupt him. He doesn't want to talk until it's over. Once the workout's over, he's as nice a person as you're ever going to meet. But when he's working, he's working.
I got to imagine you use that as an example when you talk to your guys right now.
Oh, absolutely. What better example than Kawhi Leonard, who came here, stayed 2 years, had great success, and now arguably is the best player in the world.
He led San Diego State to the Mountain West Tournament title in 2018. They are 10-0 for the first time in 9 years. They're number 24 in the coaches poll, and they're back at it Wednesday against San Diego Christian. Brian Dutcher is the head coach. Brian, great to have you on. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Have a great day. Brian, thank you. Good to talk to you. Always good to talk San Diego State basketball on the program. San Diego! We have an affiliate down there. What's up, big head? James Kelly in the house. Who you got in that game, James? Just kidding. I guarantee he's already got the number.
Omaha!
All right, so my thanks to San Diego State and Brian Dutcher. He played that thing perfectly. He goes all the way back to his time in Michigan with Steve Fisher and was always right alongside Steve Fisher, came to San Diego State and worked and worked and worked. And again, I thought that was a great point he made. There were other opportunities, but I had faith in myself, but if I go somewhere where I can't win, where I'm not comfortable, where I don't have equity, where I didn't help build it, and it doesn't work out, then what? Am I out of the game? Am I out of the business? 1on1 5 USA tweets, "Hey Jim, longtime listener, where can I see you on TV?" Signed, Stevie Wonder. Oh, it jumped the hour. Hey Lionel, thanks. Thanks, Lionel. Brick House. And dude, all these years I've been defending you and that song. Come on, man. Rome, my guy Stevie Wonder may be able to watch football, but I doubt that he would like to listen to Booger McFarlane call a game. Signed, Lionel Richie. That's got nothing to do with anything either. Dear Jim, no one else watches the Woodscopes, but I do. Signed, Stevie. Chris and Appleton, not a Packer fan, war Army beating Navy. And Rome, thanks for having my back. Your karma is signed, sealed, and delivered. Unfortunately, to the wrong address. Signed, Stevie. St. Paul is in the house. Mike in St. Paul. All right, something off the record, or off the board, I should say. Not off the record. Off the board that I might get to later on. How about a Keanu Christmas? Imagine that. If I can get to it, when we come back, Dayton Flyers head basketball coach Anthony Grant. Are you looking for the perfect gift? I've got it. Look no further. Untuck It, the original untucked shirt. It's hard to find a shirt that looks good untucked. That's because they were never meant to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts, though, are designed to be worn that way, so they fall at just the right length. They always look sharp, and not only do they look good, but they also feel great. Did you know that Untuck It has more than 50 fits? So tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages will love the fit of Untuck It shirts this holiday season. Try some bestsellers like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, all-new outerwear, and more. Get 20% off your first purchase with the code ROME at untuckit.com or at 80 Untuck It stores. So if you're looking for the perfect gift for everybody on your list, look no further than Untuck It, the original untucked shirt. Again, use the code ROME and get 20% off. Code ROME for 20% off your first purchase. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a key AFC South showdown between Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and they're taking on the Titans and Ryan Tannehill. Others are going to see KC hosting Denver and other regional action. It all begins with JB and the fellas, setting the day up on the NFL Today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. We are going to talk some Dayton basketball momentarily. As I have a moment, let me reset you with a telephone number, 1-800-636-8686. Because after we do this interview, we are open the rest of the way. Half the program, open phones. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveitake.com. If you want a digital Christmas card that we're going to run back on CBS Sports Network, send me some tasteful pics. Be responsible with it. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Dayton. Third season with the Flyers, they are 7-1 on the year. They are number 12 in the coaches poll. And they are hosting Drake tomorrow night. Anthony Grant is my guest. Anthony, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for having me, man.
Good to have you. All right, so you're coming off a win over St. Mary's at the Jerry Colangelo Classic. That's a game where you came out to a 46-25 lead in the first half. Seems to me if you're facing a program like St. Mary's, you better show up or they're going to make you pay. How pleased were you with the way everybody was ready from the opening tip?
Very, very pleased. I thought our guys, you know, we've spent a lot of time just talking about, you know, just from a scouting standpoint, what we needed to do to take away some of St. Mary's strengths. They're obviously, you know, one of the, to me, the elite offensive teams in the country with their spacing and the talent they have and just the stuff they do. So we knew from a defensive standpoint it'd be a great challenge for us, and our guys did a good job of locking into that and being able to take away some things that they've done all year.
Right, and they're always a very well-coached team. Now, strong starts are nothing new for your club. You've led at halftime of every single game this season. What does that tell you about this squad?
Well, we've got some veterans. You know, we've got some guys that have played in our system, you know, for a couple of years. We've got some guys that are familiar with, you know, college basketball and the transfers that we got that sat out, learned our system last year. And, you know, we've got a group that's really well connected. They know each other. They enjoy being around each other, whether it's on or off the floor, and they play well together.
Dayton head basketball coach Anthony Grant is my guest. They are number 12 in the coaches poll. Now, you're second in the country in scoring, and you lead the nation in assists per game, two-point field goal percentage, and effective field goal percentage. Every coach talks about wanting to share the basketball, but how do you coach that so guys really buy in and they do it better than anybody else is doing it the way your guys are?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what we just talked about. You know, we got a group of guys that really, they care about each other. You know, they enjoy playing with each other. They enjoy being around each other. And by nature, they're an unselfish group. You know, we've got, and the thing I try to tell our guys is just play to your strengths. You know, do what you do well. And we've got other guys out there that maybe what's one guy's strength helps complement another guy's strength. And they just play off of each other. And that becomes contagious, you know. So it's great to see the ball move the way it's moved for us. Obviously, you got to make shots. You got to have good players to get the assists. But the ball movement, the player movement, I think is one thing that we try to emphasize and our guys have really bought into.
We're talking Anthony Grant, again, the head coach at Dayton. Now, if we were to go back to the Maui Invitational in November, you went out there and you dominated a good Georgia team. You smashed Virginia Tech, and then you went to OT against Kansas in the championship game. Obviously, you want to win that tournament, but overall, how valuable was the experience?
It was a great tournament. You know, we knew coming in that we'd get great competition, and we learn, you know, where we are at this point in the season. And obviously, going into Maui, we had played three games, you know, and it's early in the year. And obviously, for us at Dayton, we know how important these non-conference games are in terms of building a resume. But at the same time, you try to keep it in perspective and say it's early in the year and let's see what we have. So I think, if nothing else, you know, we found out that we're capable of playing against some of the best teams in the country. And when we're right, you know, we got a chance to compete with anybody. So I think our guys felt good about it. Obviously, disappointed that we didn't, you know, get the ultimate goal of winning the championship. But you got to give Kansas credit. They were a load that game. Their guys did a great job of doing the things they needed to do to win it. But I felt like we got better from the competition.
Dayton head coach Anthony Grant, my guest. Obviously, I've got to ask you about Obi Toppin. He had a huge showing in Maui. He's been a monster all season long. Before we get to his growth from last year to this year, when you look at where he was at the start of his freshman year to where he was at the end of his freshman year, how much did he grow in just that season?
Yeah, well, Jim, I'll go back to, you know, what Obi shared when he was in high school. You know, he was 6'5", maybe 175 pounds, and was basically headed toward junior college. And then, you know, a family member was able to connect him with Mount Zion prep school. And, you know, while he was at prep school, you know, he grew another inch and a half, 2 inches, and was able to gain some interest from some colleges. So when I took the job back in 2017, he was still available. So we were fortunate to be able to get him to commit to us. And then, you know, he was an academic redshirt, and during that year, he probably grew another inch. And our strength coach and our trainers, they did a great job. He put on about 20 to 25 pounds of good muscle. So, yeah, he worked really hard. That's the thing I think that gets lost sometimes is he used that year really to get better. He really worked hard on his game. He worked hard in the weight room, and he learned our system. So at the beginning of his freshman year, he came in, knowing – having more familiarity than your average freshman with what we were trying to do. And then I felt like every game you could see him getting better, just that experience of being out there playing well, making mistakes, learning from film, learning from his coaches. And, you know, he's a guy, if you meet him, you realize he has great enthusiasm for life. He really enjoys playing the game. He's a student of the game, and I think he's got a tremendous upside.
Coach's dream. Dayton head coach Anthony Grant joining us. So one more thought then. He comes back as a sophomore, and you laid out the kind of work that he's put in, how he's improved. I guess there's an argument to be made that without Zion and John Morant out there in the NBA, he is the best dunker in college basketball. Where do you come out on his dunking and his overall game now at this point?
You know, he's really athletic. He really is, you know, for a guy his size, probably one of the fastest guys that you'll see. And then also extremely athletic. But I think Obi's got so much more to his game. And for a guy his size, his ability to handle, pass, shoot, his understanding of spacing, his understanding of what you're trying to do on the basketball court. You know, and I think, you know, at this stage, what are we, 8 games, 9 games into his sophomore year, you know, he still hadn't played 50 college basketball games. So I think he's just at the beginning of where he can be as a player, and he just continues to learn more about the game and continues to get better.
We're talking to Anthony Grant for a few more moments. You know, looking at your background, Anthony, you were with Billy Donovan, and you've been in some other places, big-time programs, but as a Dayton alum, what would it mean to you to lead your school back to the NCAA tournament?
It would mean a lot. You know, obviously, there's a great history here at Dayton. I played for Don Donaher, who's a Hall of Fame coach, and, you know, my freshman year, we went to the Elite Eight. Lost to the eventual national champion in Georgetown. And, you know, you look at the coaches that have come after Coach Donaher, there's been a long legacy of getting to the NCAA tournament and winning. And Coach Miller before me was able to get him back to that Elite Eight perch. So Dayton's a place that is accustomed to success, accustomed to winning championships, accustomed to getting to the NCAA tournament and advancing in the tournament. So you know, as the steward of the program at this point, it'd be an honor, you know, for me to be able to lead them back to the tournament and hopefully advance.
So before you go, right before you came on, I had Brian Dutcher from San Diego State on, and we talked about what it's like when teams come into their house and the home court advantage they have. Like San Diego State, you have an amazing home court, which is great, but at the same time, what's it like to try to schedule non-conference games? How challenging is it to get elite teams to come play in your house?
Yeah, it's been a bear, you know, and obviously, you know, when you have the success that we've had and the tradition, we've got some of the best fans in the country. I think we've been ranked in the top 25 in attendance for like 25-plus years. So Dayton's a place that, you know, rain, sleet, snow, no matter what, our fans show up, and they're excited to watch their Flyers play. So obviously from a scheduling standpoint, you know, it's challenging. But, you know, fortunately for us, our fans are awesome. They travel. You know, we've last year we were in the Bahamas after we left the tournament. They invited us back, you know, I think you can go every 4 years, so we'll be in that again. And I think Maui, you know, with our fan base, the way our fans showed up, hopefully we'll get an opportunity to play in those type tournaments on a consistent basis. So with that, and then obviously trying to schedule as competitive a schedule as we can in the non-conference is really important to what we're trying to build here. So we'll see. You know, obviously there's a lot of factors that go into that. You know, you've got most of the Power Five leagues going to 20 games, and that shrinks the number of available games for us. But hopefully with the tradition and success, teams will know that if they play a Dayton team, they're playing, you know, one of the teams that is a NCAA caliber team, one of the best teams in the country, and it'd be a good matchup.
Anthony Grant, my guest, one last thought. So it's Friday, and I'm thinking already after the show, Anthony, I've got that, you know, I think I'm not the only guy who thinks like this, but that dreaded Friday workout that you got to get through. Now, you're locked in on the job. You're putting yourself and your team in the best position for success. Part of that is properly fueling yourself. As evidence of that, you said, quote, "I've got to have some type of latte in the afternoon." I got to know, man, what kind of latte do you go for, and
yeah,
does that give you a lift?
I'll go with the vanilla, vanilla latte, and I'll go with a chai latte. Either one of those two, depending on how I feel on a particular day. Lately, I've been going with a chai tea latte.
Does that work? Is that good fuel? Premium fuel?
One of the highlights of my day is getting my latte in the afternoon. If my coaches heard this, they would all bust out laughing because they know it's true.
No, I like that. But it's not a morning thing? Is that an afternoon thing?
Coffee in the morning, lattes in the afternoon.
Got it. Anthony Grant is the head basketball coach at Dayton, and they are number 12 in the coaches poll. Great to have you on, Anthony. Thank you so much. Good luck. Let's do it again.
Jim, thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Well done. I like what he's selling. I'm buying what he's selling. All right, so he's going with the chai, the latte. If you're watching me on CBS Sports Network right now, matcha. I do that once in the morning. Once in the morning. But you know me. If I'm looking for some good energy, I'm reaching for Old Trapper. You know that. It's not your old man's jerky. It's not tough. It's not rough. It's tasty and tender and made on a real wood fire. It's in my gym bag. You can take it to the beach. Take it on your commute. It comes in a clear bag so you can see exactly what you're buying. If you don't see it, ask for it by name. I'm telling you, if you're a good, good partner like they are and you have a good, good product like they do, you're going to get a bonus pop like that. Keep that in mind. No, sir. All right, so my thanks to Anthony Grant. We went back-to-back. Good coaches, good programs. 1-800-636-8686. Now I'm going to open it up to you. When we return, some other topics. Let me set the table. I want to talk about Jason Garrett and what he's trying to do to save his job and save their season. Day two of the President's Cup. Went a little better for the U.S. than day one. But some of you are still on the wrong topic and the wrong story. Alvy's week that was the most consistent segment on this show, year in and year out. Bottom of hour number three. How about a good phone call? There is a former Smackoff winner on hold. I like that. He will go right to the front of the line because he's won the Smackoff. Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Goodbye, Windows 7. Hello, Windows 10. Dell's holiday sale helps you save big on the latest business computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, you get free shipping. 877-BUY-DELL. 877-BUY-DELL. All right, so it's been a minute or so since I mentioned Jason Garrett. Let me interrupt that thought. James Kelly is in the house. Alvin, go ahead and hit it.
That's right.
You want ballistic? I'll give you ballistic.
Ballistic.
James Kelly informed me that the Cowboys started at -4 and now they're +1.5. Damn. That's insane. That is ballistic. JK, I'm this close.
Ballistic.
To having you bump Hawk out of his chair and put the headphones on if they fit over your giant head. Have we seen a switch like that in a spread in a single week or in a few days? They went from -4 to +1.5. I don't know that I've seen that. Not that I've tracked that type of thing for a long time. Wells in the 360 tweets, I can't wait to see all the clone Christmas cards next week. Signed, Stevie. And now we're done. Once again, Lionel, thank you for nothing. Brick house my ass. The guy can't see, Lionel. It's not funny. Janet would hear that song and she'd be like, man, I hate that song. I'm like, what, Brick House? Commodores? What are you talking about? It's awesome. Now I hate that song. And I gotta be honest with you, Lionel. I'm not real happy with you either. I'm not happy with you at all. Given what you've done to my show.
Give me back my show.
Give me back my show.
Give me back my
show.
Give me back my
show.
Give me back my
show. I want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and what Jason Garrett is doing to save his own job. And to save their season. And I will. But as I mentioned, there is a former Smackoff winner on hold. And when I see one of them, they go right to the front of the line. And this goes back to what I was talking about earlier. In fact, yesterday, I mentioned that the Angels get Anthony Rendon. And it's not just that they got Rendon. It's who they beat out to get Rendon. And they beat out, among others, the LA Dodgers. And one of the reports was the Dodgers did not. And they've got a need. They need help at that position. This guy would have fit in perfectly. But apparently, they didn't even make him an offer because they knew that he wanted nothing to do with L.A. And I mentioned that if you live outside the area, you might say, well, wait a minute. He is playing for L.A. No, he's not. He's playing for the L.A. Angels. L.A., the L.A. Angels does not mean they play in L.A. They want to capitalize on the marketing of L.A., but they don't. They play in Anaheim. Anaheim is not L.A. Orange County is not L.A. Rendon made that pretty clear when the Dodgers didn't even make him an offer. So we got into this whole thing about Orange County versus L.A. And I mentioned that I was born in L.A. I love L.A. But I moved to Orange County. And my initial thought was, oh, hell no. I'm not doing that. But my wife, Janet, said to me, well, listen, we met in San Diego. You dragged me up to L.A. I'm from Long Beach. Now we have the wherewithal. We have some flexibility. Let's go look at Orange County. Why don't we raise our family in Orange County? And I said, because I hate Orange County. We all hate Orange County. Everybody in L.A. hates Orange County. I'm not going down there. And her response to me was, you've never even been there. I said, right, because I hate it. She said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down there, and we're going to look around. And if you still hate it, then maybe we don't go. But you can't say you hate something you've never seen. To which I said, I couldn't refute it. We drive down to Orange County. I go behind the orange curtain back in the day. I'm here for 1 hour. And I say, I'm never going back to L.A. So we get into this whole thing. But I mentioned there are parts of Orange County like there are parts of L.A. You can't paint everybody with one broad stroke. And then it was on. And then it got fractured and splintered, and people started talking junk, and San Diego became the third man in. Which brings me to this guy. I think I even mentioned during the discussion, where is Silk Bra? Silk Bra in Huntington Beach will have something to say about this. I guarantee it. So here he is, better late than never. He won the smack off. He reps HB harder than anybody ever, if in fact it's the real Silk Bra. And if you're listening right now, how badly do you want to be the fake Silk Bra? Got to find out. Silk, is that you?
I hate to disappoint all the fake Silk fans, bruh.
It is me. You. Damn it. What's up, man?
Sorry, bruh. I also want to apologize to all the Stevie truthers of getting off the main subject of the show today. And I did not just call to say I love you, bruh. So imagine, you know, I get home from school yesterday and I, of course, want to watch the show and you're shouting me out. And I felt so bad that I couldn't have got in yesterday. But I do want to touch on this Rendon thing. Listen, Rendon got, I get it. Listen, why wouldn't you want to live in Orange County? Rendon also, he got his ring, so he doesn't really care about winning now. He doesn't mind playing and not playing meaningful games in October. So, of course, go to the Angels. But what Rendon doesn't get, take a page out of Kobe's book, bruh. People, but not a lot of people realize Kobe lives in Newport Beach. He wouldn't get on the freeway to go to Staples Center. He'd just go on over to John Wayne, hop in a helicopter, and take it to L.A. Rendon could have done the same thing. So, listen, it's Rendon's loss, but yeah, L.A. it's a great place to visit if you want to go see a game or have a nice dinner, maybe stay at the Standard for the weekend. Catch Snoop Dogg at the Wiltern, but why would you want to live there? L.A. is a disaster. I mean, you pop in, you pop out. That's it. Orange County, of course, is the best. I loved how you pulled the curtain back. And, you know, us in Orange County, we know you've been here, Brad. We didn't want to put you on blast. But, of course, you come down here, you see what it all has to offer. The guy I don't understand is, and I hope he's hiding under the desk, is Adam Hawk. And the CBS camera should be zooming in on Hawk right now. He lived in Huntington Beach, and he needs to start keeping Huntington Beach out his mouth. He must have got some tainted weed from his local dispensary there in Fullerton. To put Fullerton and Brea on the same tier as Huntington Beach, listen, Fullerton's fine. I got married in Fullerton. I got married outdoors in Fullerton. And you know why I got married in October? Because Fullerton during the summer is like living on the sun, brah. Fullerton is on the same tier as Buena Park or Diamond Bar or La Mirada. It's not on the same tier as Huntington, brah. Of course, Hawk, we know he's befuddled all the time. But listen, SoCal, of course, is the best. And San Diego, you need to keep Orange County out your mouth. There's a reason why you're a sleepy lagoon, Rancho Penasquitos and Bonsall. So listen, brah, I'm sorry I couldn't get in yesterday. I had a hole in the schedule here at school today, so I thought I'd call you. Let's do this, Albie. Come on.
Come on.
Brah. Bruh.
Come on.
Bruh. Bruh.
That's not a good cup. No. You don't like that cup.
Thanks, Silk.
I like that cup.
Glad you had a hole in your schedule. I've never heard that guy so fired up. He made me laugh. I like that at the end, that sleepy lagoon and Bonsall. You got Bonsall in there. 1-800-636-8686. That is good stuff. So he put Hawk on blast. He's like, what are you talking about, Hawk? You lived in HB. What are you doing saying that Fullerton and Brea are better than HB when you repped and lived in HB?
But I don't want to talk sports or anything. I want to talk, what were you doing there?
Adam, go ahead real quick to wrap the hour. So how do you respond to that? I've never heard Silk so fired up about anything as he was that.
Well, I said they were on the same level, and that's no
right. He had a problem with that.
Yeah,
he did.
It's no disrespect to Huntington Beach and the beautiful.
He took that as great disrespect that you put them on the same level.
No disrespect to the beautiful oil drills in every neighborhood corner and all the power lines hanging over Huntington Beach and all the streets with no character. No disrespect to Huntington Beach. It's a great place. I enjoyed living there. I love going back and walking on the pier And, yeah, it's great. And Brea and Fullerton are also awesome and a much better place to raise a family with a lot better foliage and running trails and great restaurants. But they're
Did you just Google
level.
All that stuff, or have you actually been to any of these places?
I'm all over the place. Wherever I'm
you
living
are all over
is
the place,
where
dude.
I'm from.
You're a mess.
Whatever college I walk into, onto, I went to. I claim Fullerton now.
All right, then.
I'm a Fullerton guy.
Until you get evicted, and then that's it. We go to hour number three. Some of that SoCal border skirmish rivalry. Ed Al is back. I'm still trying to get to the Cowboys, and what Jason Garrett's trying to do is save his own ass and their season. And my man got really nice with it, with a highlight film. Where'd it go, Clapper? That's coming up next.